This week on the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, The Mandalorian has been nominated for 15 Emmys, including Outstanding Drama Series. We're going to talk about that. And of course, Tales from Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Squadrons, and oh so much more. All that and more on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Chris, I am Mike. Glad to be joined by you fine individuals getting ready for more Star Wars news every moment, because every time that I think we're not going to have anything to talk about, and yes, some episodes we haven't had anything, news breaks and big news breaks.
Which ones, Mike? Name.
I mean, I always thought we had interesting conversations,
we'll,
no matter
we'll
what.
We'll pull those episodes from the library.
We should say, as of right now, Sam is missing.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Sam.
We haven't heard from Sam this morning. We're sure everything's okay, but in case this turns into a case, this is a scoop. Sam's missing.
It's a 24-hour window for the police. It's a 12-hour window for the droids. If we don't hear from Sam...
Yeah, we have until Sunday that we know that we need to take this down.
Yeah, we have a six-hour heartbeat that we usually... We don't hear from him. If he doesn't mention
Batman...
He was hired
as an internal investigator into the Ellen DeGeneres show, so maybe...
Okay. Maybe he's probably pretty busy. Yeah. I think if he hasn't mentioned Batman or James Bond to us within 6 hours, or have drawn a picture of either, then we get a little worried.
Yeah, we shoot up a flare.
We put Speaking up the bat which, signal.
You know, to make promises for Sam that he can't keep while he's not on the pod, Sam is still working on those two pieces of artwork for those of you who wrote reviews. He's going to get those out in the near term. I mean, I think he's probably already done, right, guys? He's got to be done.
Yeah.
I'd say by the end of the fiscal year.
I mean,
some companies is March, so.
He's got some time.
He's got some time. Listen, guys, it's tough times. Give him a break.
Give him a break. I'm sure supplies like pencils are hard to find now, so.
Well, if you are interested in an original piece of Sam's Star Wars artwork, rate and review us on iTunes. You'll get a chance for that. And, of course, find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DroidsPod on Twitter and Instagram, the Droids Podcast on Facebook. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com. And we've got some fun new things that have been going on ancillary to the droids. I mean, they're still connected. I'd say, Ryan and Chris, let us know what we've got Star Wars-wise that you can find on some other platforms.
Well, we'll tell you what. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m., on twitch.tv/copingmechgames, Chris and I do a show called Then and Now, where we play retro games and their modern-day counterparts. We've been having a great time doing it, and this week, we're doing Star Wars.
That's
our first edition of Star Wars. I'm sure we'll do more through the tenure of the show, because we'll be out of ideas. But I believe this week we settled on doing Super Star Wars and Jedi Fallen Order. Not to cannibalize Mike's views on Twitch, because he's doing some stuff too. But that's what we'll be doing this Wednesday, 8 p.m., twitch.tv/copingmechgames.
If you're watching, you just get done with Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood, whatever your 7:30 show choice is.
You're
going to
watch the Titan Games.
If you're going to watch the Titan Games, you see the promo coming up. They're scrolling the credits horizontally for some reason. And then all of a sudden, you don't want to watch Titan Games. Turn on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/copingmechgames.
Yeah.
Turn that on.
And watch our older episodes. This week we did Halo and Destiny 2. We've done Doom and Doom Eternal. System Shock and Prey. We're having a great time over there.
Metroid.
We got a great little community building up. The chat's very active. We're having fun.
I highly recommend it. I said to the guys beforehand, the concept is fantastic. And when you know you're talking about the concept, you know that you really love the show.
Yeah, Mike said, I love the concept.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. It's like, and we asked Mike,
it's like that 30 Rock episode where Tina Fey is like, the lights were bright.
It's in focus. Which cannot be said all the time for our
show.
Yeah,
I was going to say, we can't even promise that.
But we can promise some goofs. We're having a good time over there. And we give some information about the games and things.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of good information about there's a lot that I learned in watching the Halo episode and the Destiny 2 episode that I didn't really know because I wasn't like tapped into that, and I'm like, oh, it makes me want to play Destiny, and I've never played it before.
It made me want to play Destiny, and I had 150 hours clocked, so it's become a problem.
I think, can you guys get some affiliate sales credit if I buy Destiny based on your game?
Oh, we already do,
on your stream?
Yeah, we get of that, and also if you buy any Monster Energy drink, any kind of gamer fuel, we're really plugged into that community.
Power Surge Energy Slime.
Anything that'll turn your pee green.
I actually think that's really how you build up some audiences, that you just say you're sponsored until that brand actually has to take notice because you're so intense
or they're
about
big,
that level.
Or they're so big that they forgot that they didn't actually sponsor you. Like,
well,
oh,
here it goes. Here it goes.
Give them some money.
This week, George Lucas personally presents Then and Now with Ryan and Chris.
Just
not an LLC. He has told us privately that he loves the show and he'd love to sponsor it.
And don't worry, lawyers. If you look at the sentence of what Ryan just said, it's George, period, Lucas, period.
I think it falls under
all
parody,
checks out.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think most of the stuff we do falls under parody.
Chris
of a
and
real
I
podcast.
Both bought budget level capture cards to play video games on, and George has promised that we will be reimbursed.
Quick, what's your cheapest capture card you can get?
Well, check it out every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Is that what you said?
8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. Yes, because we are a global show. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Minus 5 UTC.
GMT?
GMT.
Well, check that out. Enjoy that. Much more. You might even find some other droids in the chat. And just, I know Sam has had a tendency to appear. I'm trying to join when I can.
If you want personal access to the droids.
I was going to say, I think that's worth mentioning. That is one of the benefits of watching live. You can,
and we have some fellow droid fans. David, who sent in some questions to us here, joins us in the chat. He asked us to compare Darth Vader and Master Chief this week from Halo.
Wow.
So the droids community is
it's thriving.
It's thriving over there.
And though it may not be Star Wars directly, but we sneak it in there.
But this week
it is. That's what the droidy boys do. And this
week
it happens to me. Yeah.
Which is what? Wednesday, August 5th?
Let me look at a calendar here. It's Wednesday, August... Wait, that's wrong. Hold on.
We're really selling this show. I love it.
August 5th. Yes, Mike, you were right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, do dates mean anything these days?
Not really. Well, if you're trying to get people to tune into a live stream, they do.
Well, I said Wednesday.
Who knows when they're listening to this podcast episode? So.
Wednesday, August 5th. If it's after August 5th, you could still watch it at twitch.tv/copingmechgames.
Do what
but
I
it's
do.
It's after 60 days plus that. And may
I just
not
count.
If it's after 60 days, I'm not paying.
I just count five sleeps.
Well, the big news this week in Star Wars is that The Mandalorian has been nominated for Outstanding Drama Series at the Emmys. And no matter what you think of award shows, no matter what you think of the Emmys, I was floored by this because...
We did it, baby. We did it.
Look, really? It is a fine show that I enjoy, but when you think of drama and you think of Better Call Saul as nominated, previous shows who've won that award, say Mad Men or Breaking Bad, I mean, even Ozark, and just to put The Mandalorian in the same category, even Game of Thrones. I mean, Game of Thrones had a much more consistently... Yeah. Propulsive forward storyline. I mean, it didn't take like three episode breaks in the middle.
Yeah,
I love The Mandalorian. I thought it was a great show. It doesn't fit as a drama series.
Also, it does feel weird, and not to say that Star Wars movies are undeserving of awards, but it does feel weird to like think of them as like an Emmy nominated, like prestige television. Like,
yeah,
I kind of like that there's a layer of pulp between that and kind of like awards with Star Wars things. The fact that
you kind of assess them on the same level. Like, do they really want people assessing The Mandalorian on the same level as like Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I that to me is not my inclination of like how I think I would want to like watch a Star Wars show or movie.
Yeah, and I suppose we don't have to, but they forced our hand. Now we must.
They've done it. They've done it. I've seen the light. I can't go back now. It's interesting, though. I wonder if the format, since it is rare to see like a half-hour drama, I wonder if the format has any like play there.
Well, where it's it did get some nominations based on the format, which I didn't realize was even a thing, which is, let's see, hold on.
Half-hour drama?
Outstanding production design for a narrative program, half hour. Oh. Outstanding cinematography for a single camera series, half hour.
Oh, which,
you know,
interesting.
They never announced that at the actual award show. It's kind of
that'd be real lame if you had to put it in parentheses, half hour.
It being nominated for a lot of technical awards,
yeah,
it still doesn't really make sense to me. But
really?
I mean, yeah, I guess like the effects for television are very
good. I can't tell what's real.
Especially the volume thing. Yeah.
The volume's incredible.
I can't tell what's real or not on that show. I'm upside down when I'm watching it.
All right, everybody, calm down. I was just thinking out loud here.
And I guess they have a category that is just outstanding fantasy sci-fi costumes. So
those are the ones they're like at a previously unaired
exactly.
award ceremony.
It's like Bonnie Hunt comes out and says, I was able to host those awards.
Yeah, so like the full nominations are Better Call Saul, Killing Eve, Ozark, Stranger Things. Well, look at the other things that don't deserve to be there. Succession, The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, and The Mandalorian. So like in a world where Stranger Things is getting nominated for Best Drama Series.
I mean, fair. I agree with that. But it's, again, the rest of what you listed doesn't. I mean, like Succession, The Crown, Better Call Saul, Handmaid's Tale, Ozark. Yeah. That's not the same category.
Yeah, it's more like two of these things are not like the others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, two of these things are meant to bring in your broad audience so people will watch an award show.
Yeah, and then they'll get mad. You get like all these fanboys that'll be mad that The Mandalorian didn't beat Killing Eve, you know? Which is like clearly like, a much more like...
yeah.
Like prestige affair that's...
Exactly,
you know,
like if The Handmaid's Tale... Yeah, like... I think one frame of The Handmaid's Tale like looks insanely gorgeous compared to.
Well, you famously said you love everything that happens on that show.
No, that's not what I famously said.
You
I
fully
famously
endorsed
said,
everything.
I famously said nothing.
Well, let's run through though the list of at least the other top line awards because I think it's pretty amazing that guest actor in a drama series Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, not amazing. Jake.
No, I don't know how Jake was passed over. I'm very concerned.
Giancarlo Esposito was in like 5 minutes of this show.
That's what baffles me. And it's again, it's a matter of like the Emmys saw like, oh, we like him. We remember him.
He got guest appearance?
Yeah, guest appearance.
Usually that goes to like, you know, Martin Short plays a serial murderer on an episode of Law & Order, you know, like...
Well, and Margot Martindale gets like one episode as a character in something. I mean, didn't Martin Short get nominated for The Morning Show? And I'm like, hang on. You know, come on. That was a 5-minute scene where he was, you know, an abuser. Steve Carell being nominated also doesn't quite make sense.
Honestly,
kind of
The Morning
show
being nominated for anything, aside from like most money spent. show is a
outstanding
mess.
Character voiceover performance.
Best Billy Crudup.
Is that real outstanding character voiceover performance?
Yes, and Taika Waititi was nominated, that's a category, sure. Why not? There's not exactly a lot of character voiceover performance.
I thought it was going to be Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
That's really
They're not classifying him
best
as just a voiceover.
Best in-suit performance. It says John Wayne's grandson.
I think that's interesting. So it seems to me like they just kind of figured out all the awards that were like outstanding that they were like, well, we could probably, if we put a little a bunch of money into these areas, we could probably pick up all these Emmys.
Well, there is a thing too. Mike made a good point that it's like, the Emmys do want viewers, and there is something in nominating shows that have a lot of viewers.
Yeah, because you want their fan base to come and watch.
Yeah, like, I'm also not sure if the Crown audience is like, we got to watch the Emmys this year.
I don't know if it's this way anymore, but I remember there was some, like, NPR thing that was before either the Academy Awards or the Emmys where it was like, statistically, the movies that always won were just the movies that sent out the most screeners.
It's a winnable game.
So if you're a company like Disney, I feel like you have a lot of power and influence to send out basically... as many screeners as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And like the name Mandalorian, Star Wars The Mandalorian, is like been broadcast advertised for like 2 years. So
there is a name recognition thing too, because a lot of the people who vote, because I believe it is the Academy, right? So like a lot of the people who vote like haven't seen all of it.
Oh yeah.
So they're just like, it's the reason that like that Mad Men just keeps winning. Yeah, obviously it's off the air now, but like they're just
or
like
Modern Family.
Yeah, Modern Family is a better example, where it's just like, it must still be good.
Yeah,
and then they just
exactly. You know. Oh, I remember that episode last year. It was funny.
Yeah, so with Star Wars thing, now it's becoming. I've heard that it's becoming like whoever sends out links, people are getting annoyed with screeners. They're like, "What am I supposed to do with this?" So they just want links now.
Yeah.
So it's like
to screener websites that, from what I can tell from the critics, don't actually work properly and are mostly frustrating.
Oh, no.
Why haven't they been able to crack that? Why don't they just give them like
Because they're trying to limit to make sure that no one can see it except for the critic they intend to see it. And if they put it out there and somehow that critic just is like, oh, here's my password.
Oh, I see.
Why don't they just make it free for everybody? I mean, this is television.
Let's change it. Let's let the people vote for Emmys. Text droids to
you know
the Mandalorian.
What's funny is that I love that idea, Chris. Is like, why can't we vote online for presidents? Let's vote online for favorite TV shows. I guess they do it on websites.
But. Listen, when I was 13 years old, I voted for Blink-182 to win the MTV People's Choice Music Award.
Did they get it?
I don't remember. Because they got it in my heart. You know what I mean?
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters.
Well, I would say also, I think it's a nice quote from Kathleen Kennedy that the child will be appearing in his tux for the Emmys.
Well, that's cute.
Can't wait for that cringeworthy moment because it'll be a virtual Emmy show where they're puppeting the child.
We can't even hear the people not laughing in the room.
I can't wait till Ricky Gervais is riffing with the tuxedo.
Well, he's asking the baby if he's even seen the show. And then he like makes fun of the people in. Well, they won't be in the room. He makes fun of the people on watching the show that have actually watched The Mandalorian. Get a life! Oh, that's my Ricky Gervais.
That's pretty good. That's a good Ricky Gervais. I'm impressed.
Well, also, The Resistance was nominated for Outstanding Children's Program.
That's good.
Which is nice, but it's still. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still just baffled that they kind of just sunset it. With no real fanfare, and just like, it's just done.
It was picking up steam too. Like I could have seen a very cool storyline. I feel just like that's all Last Jedi Fallout related. Like they were really tying things together, and then they decided to go. What's interesting in that move? I mean, it's not like the worst thing because I do enjoy these like newer episodes of the Clone Wars, but it's like, do we really need? Well, maybe some people want it, like the Bad Batch spinoff and like that kind of thing. Like, I'd rather something a little newer, but I don't know.
Well, because you got a pretty front and center series for the clone troopers throughout the Clone Wars. You know, did we need another? But we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, yeah.
I'm very excited for Ludwig Göransson because he's outstanding music composition for a series, which he also won an Oscar for his Black Panther score. But
oh, wow.
I think he did an exceptional job in Mandalorian.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where he made it pretty iconic in that first main theme. But it felt almost effortless for him when you watch that episode of Disney Gallery where he's just messing around, comes up with stuff. And you're like, wow, it is something that it's its own, still feels relevant for Star Wars. And it's just, I mean, I can hear it in my head the moment I think about it. Like, how many shows can you feel that way where, yes, there's the opening credits where, like, yes, I guess I can hear the Mad Men theme. But, like, that use of, what was it, a bassoon or the instrument he uses at the very beginning is just, like, burned into my brain.
It's pretty funny that the behind the scenes of him making the music is almost like a parody of, like, a Foley artist behind he just has a bunch of wacky instruments, and he's just like, he has the like one of those like soundboards where he's just plugging in wires to like different ports and stuff like that. It's very, very funny. But you're right. It is the soundtrack, I think, is very it falls into like an iconic Star Wars soundtrack. It's very distinct and it it's very unique to the show, and it describes the show in a way that a lot of soundtracks don't describe their own show.
It's kind of amazing how how Star Wars music has consistently done that. You know, with the exception of maybe like Solo, A Star Wars Story, which, you know, I know that John Williams wrote an original theme to it. I couldn't tell you what it was. But,
yeah,
you know, with Clone Wars, with The Mandalorian, with Rogue One, I would even argue, they find, the composers find a way to make it completely in line, but make new iconic things that you're like, yeah, that's great.
I will always make the argument for Giacchino's score in Rogue One, but especially for the moment where they bring down the shield and two Star Destroyers crash into each other, and he plays it lightly, just with a little bit of the theme that they've been doing through the whole movie, but it's like a light piano.
Yep.
And it just, I've loved Giacchino forever. His Lost stuff, Up, everything he does. But that felt like classic Giacchino, but also felt perfectly in Star Wars. And it to me, makes me emotional just from hearing it, because it's like, he had the intent when he wrote that this would be some emotional achievement moment, which is what you're doing when you're scoring a film. But it's just like, it really comes through in that moment. And I always get chills. And I have been thinking about a very minor tweet where I say, why don't we talk about this enough? Why don't we talk about Giacchino's score and just show that scene?
Also, like, based on all accounts, he had like an afternoon to write the score for that movie. He is a dude that, like, there's been a few instances where, not just on Star Wars, where they need a composer quickly, and Giacchino comes in and like crushes.
He's like, I got it.
Well, it's because of his experience on Lost. He had to like burn through it fast. And actually, I think there was something, there was an interview with him recently on a podcast that was about, scoring. And he just talked about how that was nothing like the time period he had to turn things around for that. And it set him up for the rest of his career. Wow. I think he also did a video game scores before he did Lost, didn't he?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't.
The Giacchino pod.
We'll follow up on that on a future pod. Yeah, no, but he's amazing.
Or right now as I check it out.
Where's his Emmy?
I think he's got one.
Hashtag, he's got it. Where's his Emmy?
He wrote that amazing Star Trek score for the new one.
Oh, yeah. He's just, the violins. He knows how to create this, like, saccharine moment. I just don't know how he does it. Every time you hear one of his scores, like, when they duck out, I wonder if he, like, talks to the sound editor. He's like, can you make sure there's no other noise being played here?
I imagine they discuss how a moment's going to play out. You'd hope.
Yeah, I would hope so. Where he's just like, the sound editor.
Of course,
like, I've worked on
famous score to What About Brian?
Man, the sound editor is like, long time. And then the sound of two Star Destroyers hitting each other is the cool. It's like a million Lego bricks.
But Mike, you're right. He did a lot of Medal of Honor.
Oh, cool. Scores. Oh, wow. That's a great soundtrack.
He did the.
I remember.
Well, how about this? So Small Soldiers. We were talking about that. He did He did the score to the video game Small Soldiers.
Oh.
Not
which I.
And the Gargoyles video game. His first credit is the Gargoyles video game. That's cool.
That game's awesome.
Yeah.
For Super Nintendo.
Oscar winner though for Up, and then nominee for Ratatouille. Yeah.
The Incredibles has a great score. Yeah. He always knows what movie he's doing.
Yeah, three-time Emmy nominee for Lost. I don't understand how he didn't win for Lost. He should have won for Lost, especially for the first season finale.
Yeah, but he really pooched the ending.
As we get close to wrapping this up, only a little bit other news is that Tales of Galaxy's Edge, an ILM X-Lab VR experience. You'll be able to play a story in Galaxy's Edge on Batuu. So for all of us who are, you know, rightfully not going to a theme park right now, you can experience Batuu from a distance when they release this on all VR headsets.
Now it can be prohibitively expensive from home.
Do they let me buy thousands of dollars worth of merch from the VR? That would be awesome.
Yeah, can I go to the hotel in VR? Like, can I want to get on the tram, lay down in bed, I'm in the hotel.
Can they do that thing at Disney where they the ride that takes you, grabs you, and turns you upside down, shakes all the money out of your pockets, and then puts you back down?
Can I go to the Hall of Presidents?
Well, it doesn't look like they have
Hall of Presidents. At the end, at the very,
they don't have an official a release date, but they do have the actress Deborah Wilson, who plays who's in Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. She is a Guavian Death Gang operative.
That's fun. Oh, good. I'm glad they brought the gangs.
Do you think she shot
in
it from home?
She's probably doing her voiceover from home. But I honestly, you know, if you're going to get the Guavian Death Gang, you better get Conja Club, Chris.
I know. They better be in there. I feel like we're going to be in the middle of some kind of battle between two gangs, and we're going to be running around, hitting switches.
You look to the left, it's Duquesne. You look to the right, it's Unkar Plot.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine that we'll be in a ship that's like the Falcon, and it basically, I mean, that scene would be great for VR.
If
some Rathtars run around you.
I think we're going to be waiting in line for 3 hours, because we didn't get the Fast Pass upgrade.
They got the Fast Pass on VR. Yeah. That's just Oculus Fast Pass. That's its own version of it. Bobby Moynihan, and I'm going to say it, you know, we're saying we're putting stuff out there and saying that, you know, we'll just get more fans and audience. Friend of the pod, Bobby Moynihan, because soon to be guest on the pod. Right? I mean, why not?
This is a true story. My wife is friends with him on Facebook.
Well, then I think we've got our first step into having Bobby Moynihan on the pod.
I think there was like, he did like a improv show at her college before he was on SNL or something.
Wow.
And everybody friended on Facebook. It was still when you could friend Bobby Moynihan on Facebook.
So, coming up next week on the Droids, guest star Bobby Moynihan. It's happening.
I like it.
He is playing a bartender in a cantina named Cecil Slack. And he's a kooky guy, and obviously he voiced a character in Resistance. And I like that Bobby Moynihan's just kind of getting in. It makes me think that if you have enough fandom out there and maybe you get some notoriety, and this pod's our notoriety, then somebody will let you work in Star Wars.
Yeah.
This pod is our notoriety.
It's podstable.
I get recognized every day. Every day I get recognized for doing the pod.
But that's by Safi.
Yeah, I mean, we are in quarantine. My dog has no idea. So there's really one left to recognize me for the pod, and she does every day.
Well, Sam, get well soon, Sam. Resurface. You know, if you can just make sure you let us know. Send us a painting of your whereabouts.
Send us a picture of Sam.
Holding today's newspaper so we know the difference.
So we know that it was accurate.
But don't get the newspaper, because somebody else touched that newspaper, and that's not safe.
Also, like, I wouldn't be able to verify that. I don't have a newspaper. Also, I'm pretty sure the front page of every newspaper for the last 4 months has pretty much said the same thing.
I don't know. It actually says something a lot worse today.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just like, we'll just know from how bad it is.
Today, it's all about how this is the worst GDP quarter ever.
Well, not in Star Wars land.
I assume that printed newspapers just had the words bad with 5 exclamation points.
Bad
written.
Stuff.
I was thinking you were going to go the route that every day it said, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a world on fire. In other breaking news, water wet.
We landed on the moon.
Well, always a pleasure to be here with the droids. And again, check out Kopi Mech Games on twitch.tv Wednesday, August 5th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Ryan and Chris are bringing the best content on Twitch.
That's right.
Wow.
Thank
Good
you,
endorsement.
Mike.
Thank
I
you.
I don't know why I did it that way in the sing-songy voice, but I
wanted Wednesday
to.
At 8, it's between that and watching a guy order everything on a pizza menu and eating it, I believe. That's our counter-programming.
That's it.
I wish we were in the previous era of like must-see TV, so you could say you were against
Will
an
and
actual
Grace.
Like episode of yeah.
Yeah, and we're up against Will and Grace, Boston Commons and
Boyd.
Never Wings. We would never be up against Wings.
We can't beat Boston can't do Common.
Don't do that. Don't go up against Wings. It's a bloodbath for you then. That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We'll catch you next week right here on whatever listening device you're using.
What they grow. Annie?